Hello everyone, it's Andy Nolch here, the host of the Kink TV show, and welcome to the Kinks podcast. Just a casual podcast where I talk about interesting things for about an hour and usually goes into political things. Just give it a go, have a listen to it. This is episode 3. This is totally unplanned. It's just a very casual podcast, I think. It's just a nice, easy thing to listen to while you're at work. I went snowboarding today, so I might be a little bit tired while doing it. It's a bit late and might be a little bit slow, but hopefully not. So on this podcast, nothing's planned, and I have absolutely no idea what's going to happen. It's not going to be totally action-packed with exciting guests and all that sort of stuff. I save that sort of stuff for the Kink TV show. This is just something that's a hobby, and this podcast, it's not like I'm trying to make the best podcast ever. I'm just literally going to start talking and see what happens. Probably first thing that comes to mind of something that I could talk about is, I'll just mention, this is just a bit of good advice. For people who go to the snow, just at the beginning of the seasons or the end of the seasons, when in like the last week of the seasons or 2 weeks or whatever, that doesn't mean it's not worth going. It's not like, oh, there's no snow there, don't go to the snow, you know. I went today and it actually was quite good because the temperature was warm, so it wasn't freezing, you know, at the snow. And there was still snow on that because they have lots of snow machines that make the snow. And the simple sort of runs are all open, and they're, unless you're like serious about skiing or snowboarding, you know, you people probably shouldn't go. But if you're just a, you know, beginner like most people are, just, you know, doing it as a little bit, it's quite good. It's actually really good, and, you know, you don't get freezing hands and all that sort of stuff, and it's warm up there, and there's not that many people around as well, so you get to have a bit of a free run. You don't have to wait up lines and all that sort of stuff. So it's all right. So just don't think that, like, one run's open and they're just desperately trying to get people in the last week of the season and it's crappy and that. It's actually, it's pretty good. All right, so that's all I've got to say on that. Sorry for not being so entertaining, but I think it's just a good bit of advice for people to mention, because I used to think when people would say, you know, it's in the last few weeks of the season, I used to think, why the hell would you go? There's, like, no snow. But it's just like, no, it's actually pretty good. I'm drinking green tea, so you'll probably hear slurping going on throughout this podcast. Yeah, you could probably tell I'm not really in the mood for doing this, but anyway, and the past two ones were so charged with such political stuff that I was talking about. Each one was like over an hour, and I touched some really current issue things like the legalization of drugs, and I think even a little bit about vaccines, and a bit about global warming and stuff, things that were really current issues and that. And, boy, were they things that I was passionate about, and I definitely could talk about an hour on those topics. I was pretty cocky when I started those two podcasts that I did, because I was like, oh, I'll see if I can fill an hour. I'm pretty confident I can fill an hour on these topics. Just started talking, and I filled over an hour easily. But right now, I feel like, shit, how am I going to fill up an hour? I don't really have anything to talk about. Like, I can't even really think of anything to talk about. It's just like, whoa. Okay, you know. But what comes to mind is evil people. And I think that's, something educational that can be spoken about for an hour. I touched on them a little bit in the other two podcasts and that, and, because they just come up so often. If you talk about anything in this world, the root of it is evil people, so, like, it always just comes up, like, global warming, for example. You might be like, how the hell does global warming have anything to do with evil people? And you might go, oh, it's evil people selling oil. Well, not really. Global warming isn't happening, and evil people are spreading lies that it's happening. So that's how it relates to evil people, because that problem that you think that there's global warming going on, that concern that you have, is just linked to a lie from an evil person, or evil people. Anyway, I if you want to find out about them, listen to the other podcasts, okay? I think the first podcast is the one that goes on about global warming. We're not going to go on about global warming. I'm just saying nearly any problem, you can go to the root of it. You look at it, you dissect any problem, and you go, what's going on here? And you try and find out, and you'll find evil people are at the back bottom of it. Now, you might go, how does my mum, who died when she was 55 years old from cancer, how the hell does that have anything to do with evil people? Well, let's get into that then. So, firstly, evil people have influenced society and stuff and spread bad ideas on what good things are, like good diets and that sort of stuff. So your mother, I'm just using an example, someone's mother who passed away when they're 55. So your mother, she would have applied in her diet some of these bad principles that led to her getting cancer, that could have encouraged her getting cancer. Because if you take a person and you keep them as healthy as possible, they're unlikely to get cancer. But when you give them bad food and they try and eat good food, but they think it's good food, but it's actually not bad, it's actually bad food, and then they get cancer. Just it all contributes. You know, you want to be as healthy as possible and in all working order, and with a bounce in your step, and then things like cancer you don't get. So cancer is related back to evil people. I'm sure some people would just get it anyway, regardless of evil people. Well, that's not entirely true. I'm not going to go into that. But from my studies, it's actually quite possible, but literally every problem there ever is linked to evil people. And even people who can be totally healthy who get cancer for whatever naturally, even that could be caused to link to that problem, can be linked back to evil people. And while I don't know if I want to go on that topic explaining why, okay, because that's so out there, you would just think I'm insane if I start talking about this stuff. This stuff goes out of this world, basically. It goes out of this dimension of what's going on. You know what I mean? The dimension that passed away people have gone into. There's other dimensions going on, and scientists talk about it and that sort of stuff. But it's getting really out there going there. But let's just say, you know, nearly all problems are caused by evil people, and some problems aren't. Like, some people would just naturally get cancer, even if they ate good food and didn't take the bad advice from evil people. Some people, maybe just a few, would still get cancer, but we're just saying that for this case. But yeah, a lot of the cancer is caused by evil people. And I'll give you one example, right? There was this guy called Dr. Wallach, and I think it's Dr. Wallach. Anyway, he wrote some book, Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Or he talks a lecture called that or something. And what he did, right, he looked, I think in the early 90s, he looked at the average age that doctors were dying of. And he, I've already worked out, I think, what the topic of this podcast is going to be, the medical industry. Anyway, because that's something I can definitely do a whole hour on. Okay, so he looked in the early 90s into the average age the doctors were dying, and they were dying on average at age 58. That's pretty young, isn't it? Especially because you think that they should live longer than the average person, doctors, you know, having good incomes and stuff and stable jobs and knowing the information that they're supposed to know by being, you know, doctors. But he looked at the age of the average person died at, and it was like 70. Age 72 or something. So he was like, why is the average age of doctors dying 58 and the average Joe is dying at 72 on average? Shouldn't doctors be living longer? Shouldn't they be, you know, shouldn't their advice be good? Anyway, so he looked into it and he really investigated nutrition and all that sort of stuff, and he just found out that the doctors, what they were doing wasn't good for their health. So their little bits of advice saying, oh, don't eat bacon, and oh, don't put salt in those chips, and little things like, oh, cut out your fat, and things like, oh, take this medicine, take this drug. They were doing it because they were doctors. They were in the industry in that. They were applying their own things that they were teaching and giving to their patients, and it wasn't working. It was just killing them. You know what I mean? Killing them on average at the age of 58. So this Dr. Wallach guy discovered that the doctor's advice was just shit. It was just wrong. Like, for example, they've got that red tick, the Heart Foundation tick, right? I'm not saying this is all definitely true. This just seems to be what's going on according to all the things I've looked at and all the evidence I've looked at. You know, only things that you really see with your own eyes, that you personally see and witness, can you say 100% definitely this is what's happening. You know what I mean? So it's like, if you took a new medicine from a doctor and you tried it and got bad side effects, spoke to a few other people who got bad side effects, most people didn't, you could say definitely without any doubt, some people get side effects to this new drug. Bam, locked in. You know what I mean? You know, provided that, you know, you've done a bit of experimenting, you've looked into it, you can go boom, you know, like as in, is that chair you're sitting on right now, is that there? And you're like, yep, that's definitely there. You can say 100%, okay. So with all these things, right, some of them don't have the definiteness of what I'm saying, where the chair's right there, definitely, you know what I mean? Some of these things don't, but some of the other things that I don't have the time to investigate, you know what I mean? Like, you just have to go what other people say, and you've looked at a lot of evidences, and you have to say, look, it seems like this is the case, you know? But if you were really going to go and do something about it, like protest something at a rally and put in the effort or donate money towards some cause, you'd really look into it and make 100% sure. Anyway, so some of these things I'm going to talk about, it's not 100% sure, but it seems to be what's the case, what's going on. So when it comes to the doctors giving bad advice to patients on what to do in regards to their health, it seems like that's what's going on. And most likely, and I'm pretty confident in saying that, but I'm not going to say 100% like the chair's definitely there, because I can 100% sure the chair's there that I'm sitting on. All right, so this Dr. Wallach guy looked at the advice that doctors were giving, and he noticed how they would say, you know, stuff like don't eat bacon and don't put salt in those chips and that. And he investigated, and he was like, he kind of found out, you know, hey, you can put plenty of salt in your chips. Your body just pisses it out. It's like okay to have extra. It doesn't make you unhealthy, you know what I mean? And he looked at bacon, and there's some people who've lived well over the age of 100 and they've been eating bacon and eggs all day. There's nothing wrong with it. It's natural, you know what I mean? Anyway, but these doctors had these false ideas, and they're starting to, only now they're starting to change. Things have really started to change since like about 2010, when the internet started ramping up and people started spreading all this information on the internet about vaccines, about alternative health, about, you know, it's okay to eat bacon and all this sort of stuff. Whereas in the 90s, it was like the propaganda was so thick and ingrained in society. It probably reached its peak, the propaganda and lies in general being spread, and lies in general that people hold. It probably, in my opinion, probably reached its peak literally in about 2009. So just before that, we hit an absolute low point. Like, it was after the GFC, it was just the most ridiculous thing that had been going on, just the absolute low point. And then since then, we've started to get more and more truth coming out, and the Facebook and that, and people's smartphones, information just started to be spread massively. And freedom fighters and people who are just looking for the truth and wanting to spread good information have really started to win, and people have started to go, oh, hey, you know, or Jim Carrey's against vaccines or something, like, oh, there's some more stuff going on, you know. And if you're totally pro-vaccine, that's totally fine, you know what I mean? Like, you just haven't seen the information that I've seen. I'm not saying every single vaccine is bad, you know, I'm just saying that they seem to be giving side effects to people, and I don't freaking want the side effects. I don't care if it happens to 1 in 100. If I take it, there's an odds that I'm going to get a permanent side effect that I don't want. There's an odd if you give the vaccine to kids, right, there's a chance they might die. it's a really slim chance, but they might die. Are you willing to put your kid through that? Anyway, the only reason people ever have disagreements on things is because they've got different information. So if I have a little debate with someone who's pro-vaccine, it's just because they've got different information to me. They've seen different things to me. And they haven't seen what I've seen and observed what I've seen. But if we really sat down and we were really able to share our experiences, our lifestyle, and all the things, information we've seen regarding vaccines, and they said their thing or my thing, and we really put in the time, we would probably come to the same agreement that we can't be totally certain. It's probably best not to take them, you know? I realised that when I spoke to someone recently. Sorry to go off topic. This is what happened on this thing, but I'm gonna come back to it. When I spoke to someone about the legalisation of drugs, and I kind of only had a few minutes to speak. I had to go somewhere, and he was so upset that I was for the legalisation of drugs, right? And we didn't have a like. He was asking me, I guess, why, and then sort of attacking me and being a bit aggressive in that, and. You know, I tried to explain a few little points, but, like, we could never get to the bottom of it and have a legitimate discussion about it because we just didn't have the time. But if we really sat down and were able to, you know, go through all the information and I would say to him, look, I've made this podcast that goes for an hour long, have a listen to this, mate, and then we'll continue this discussion about the legalization of drugs. And then, oh, look at this lecture by blah, 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 and listen to this thing on YouTube. If we really sat down and really able to discuss and spend all the time that we want, we probably would have come to the same conclusion on the issue, you know? But when you just come across someone for a few minutes and you can't really share your ideas, and, you know, I was trying to say, oh, you know, there's a lot of things to say about it, you know, I don't have really time to say and stuff. You know, it's... you end up having a mini argument and then you end up being upset and no one agrees on anything and one person thinks the other one's a retard and the other one thinks the other one's a retard. It's just silly. That's why when they have discussions on those TV shows, news TV shows, they have a 3-minute spot to discuss something like really important like vaccines and one person's for it, one person's against it and they say their points quickly, the other person says their points and they never get to the bottom of their discussion and that and they go, oh, quickly, we're going to cut to an ad break and then that's the end of that. And it's so silly. And it's just like, that is the most ridiculous conclusion, like, you could ever think of. Like, that's just not handling the discussion at all. But the news isn't interested in giving out information. The news is more interested in having two little people argue and stuff because it's interesting and sensational and people tune into it. That's one thing you got to remember about the world, the news and that, it's bought and paid for. So it's like, the news are paid to report on certain things. Because it promotes it, and they're paid to not report on certain things. Because that information might go against someone who's really rich and what they want to have happen. Basically, the news is just completely ridiculous and corrupt, and you can't really go by it. You have to take it with a grain of salt whenever you watch it, you know? There's some good information in it, but it's just like, don't take this as a holy grail. The first time I really realised how ridiculous the news was when I heard... a religion that I studied that I knew about and that sort of stuff, personally, a church that I was involved in or whatever, I saw a news report on it. And from on the outside, if you don't know anything about this church, a news report seems legit, seems like it's the truth. And but then when you actually know about the church intimately and then they do their report on it and you're on the inside and you know the information and you see their report and you go, oh my God, this report's just really dodgy and full of lies and just crap. Like, it's just things that have been blown out of proportion and just incorrect. And you just go, oh my God, they're just literally, the media and the news just report the stupidest things. They don't even investigate their things and it's really dumb, you know? There's this YouTube guy called Lewis Spears who's done some things where he's just screwed over the media and it's really funny when he does it, you know? Some of the things you could say are a bit mean to the media, but it's just like they need to be exposed for how fucking stupid they are. You know, but it's good what he does. He just tricks them. He pretends to be someone on some issue and calls them up and gives them information. And then they take it and they go, yeah, this is what's going on. And then he just sucks them into a hole and then makes a mockery of them. And then it's just really funny because he shows how they're just so not professional and they're just stupid a lot of the time. Anyway. Oh, where are we up to now? So back to the medical stuff that I was talking about. So this doctor found out that a lot of the information that the doctors were spreading was false. Like, wasn't true. Like, someone would have a heart attack and the doctors would be like, you know, cut out. Oh, sorry, the heart tick thing is what we're talking about, yeah. So the heart tick foundation thing was just ridiculous. So people would see food with a heart tick on it and they'd go, oh, this is good for my heart. And it meant it didn't have a certain... It meant it was low in cholesterol. And cholesterol's good. There's good and bad cholesterol. So it's just like, if you're going to eat a product that has no cholesterol, that's not going to be that nutritious. You shouldn't really cut cholesterol out, you know. And so it's just ridiculous, you know. So doctors would say, oh, cut out cholesterol because cholesterol causes this. When really they should say, well, we think cholesterol is caused by this. We don't really know, but maybe you should try cutting it out. We're not really that certain. But they would say it with definiteness, like, here, cut out cholesterol. It causes heart attack. It's bad, blah, 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 blah. And it's just like, you don't even know what you're talking about, you know. I heard two guys talking once that were like two sort of wealthy, like, businessman dudes. I was working in their house. I just overheard them talking. They said, I think one of them said they went to a doctor with a problem, and they'd obviously had some experiences with doctors, and they were like, yeah, these doctors don't even have any idea what causes illnesses and shit. They don't really know what's going on. Like, you think they're really professional and they really know what's going on, but a lot of the time they're just having guesses and they're just trying their best and they're really not as professional and as intelligent as what you think. And they were both like, yeah, and they both agreed on it. They were talking about it, and they were both like, yeah, they observed that. They're like, a lot of... Because, like, a lot of time, like... I heard of this lady who had some back problem and she tried all the surgeries, she tried everything and just none of it can cure the problem. And doctors are just like, I have no idea what's going on. I don't know how to cure it. Because they're not the be-all and end-all. They can't do everything. They're not amazingly fantastic, you know. But they kind of act like they are, like they're really intelligent, you know. And so doctors can't do anything for this lady's back problem, you know. And I heard another person talking once. And that person said that I think they were a nurse and they, like, overheard doctors talking and the doctors were, like, deciding what treatments to give someone who was sick in a hospital and they were, like, basically just didn't really know how to cure the person and were like, oh, let's try this drug. Maybe that would work. Or let's try that drug. Maybe that would work. And then they were like, oh, and we have to prescribe another drug to handle that drug's side effects. You know what I mean? Because their drugs always have side effects. So they're not that good, you know? Anyway, so the doctors were just discussing what side effects would be and which is the least worst side effect to handle the problem. And they were just like, didn't really know what was, like, the cause of it and that. And they're just, it was just silly. So they're just prescribing another drug and then another drug for the drug initially that they prescribed and another drug for the initial drug. And it's just so silly. And then at the end of the day, you just get a person who's on, like, maybe at least three drugs. They're just getting these dodgy side effects. They maybe have their illness a tiny bit helped. And then they just never get cured from it, and they're just a product. I mean, they're just making the medical industry money, you know. Anyway, that's what one of the things that Dr. Wallach discovered as well was that, like, why would the doctors want to cure anyone? You know what I mean? Whatever they give you to solve a problem, they don't want it to permanently solve the problem. They just want it to make it a little bit better so they can just keep on giving you it and they have a customer for life, you know? It's kind of like a builder building a decking at someone's house, a carpenter building a decking at someone's house. And they build it crappily and they half build it, right? And then every year it breaks down, so then they have to get their call back again to come and fix it up and rebuild it, and they call back again a year later to come back because they never built it right in the first place. So these drugs and all these treatment procedures they have and that sort of stuff are just like, they never really handle the problem. It's just crappy. So this Dr. Wallach basically discovered mainly, from what my research and things I've observed have discovered, is that the medical industry is just really crap at their job. They're just not good, you know? And they just keep on pushing new drugs because they're just bought out by the drug companies. And they keep on saying, oh, I tried this drug for this illness and try that drug. And it's just like, hey, how about you think of, like, not using drugs? Like, maybe something else can be used besides drugs. There's lots of things going on in the world. There's some psychics who can turn light bulbs on with their mind. Serious. it's no magic trick. They can actually turn on light bulbs with their mind. So there's a lot going on in this world, you know, you don't have to just turn to drugs. But the drug companies would never do that. They would always go, oh, we're going to research a new development for cancer. And they'll be researching a new type of drug. They won't be researching some other type of therapy or some other, something different, you know. So it's really interesting what's going on. So Dr. Wallach, he discovered, because what happened was he was looking at, he was working at a farm, I think his dad had a farm or something, and he noticed that lots of farm animals were totally healthy and not getting the illnesses like cancer or the, you know, the big permanent illnesses that the humans were getting. And he was like, why are cows healthy in that? And he looked at what the cows were getting fed, and they're getting fed fantastic vitamins. And because what the farmers had worked out is if you give them, no, they were minerals or something. If you give these cows these good minerals and that, they don't get cancer because they don't want their thingos getting cancer, you know, obviously, because they lose money every time a cow dies, you know. So they'd worked out a really great diet for their thingo. And then he looked at it and he was like, oh, why don't I try this? You know what I mean? Why don't we try this diet on humans? And so he tried some of these vitamins that were being given to cows or the minerals that were being given to cows. And he had some illness at that time, and it helped him with that illness, like pretty much cured it. And then he looked into it more, and he created this fantastic supplement vitamin thingy that's called Beyond Tangy Tangerine, and that's got this great mixture of good stuff in it that if you take, you know, you won't get cancer and that sort of stuff, you know. So. And it has cured some things in people who are like old and they're losing their memory and that they start taking this and suddenly they start acting young again. And they can think and they can remember things, and it's just like, it's amazing what it can do. And I take it, and it's I reckon it's really good. And it's he also looked into some of the diets of people who were living to like age 150 and that sort of stuff, and what they were eating and stuff, and sort of combined some of the stuff, the minerals they were getting, and putting in this vitamin. So, and you can tell it's really awesome, works really well as well, because when you listen to him, he's like 75, and he sounds, on the voice, he sounds like a 42-year-old. Like, he looks like he's probably 63 or something. But, his voice, he just sounds young and bubbly and fresh and awake, and you just tell he's really healthy, and it's probably his Beyond Tangy Tangerine, really. And he said, I think he never needs to go to doctors and never has anything wrong with him. And it seems, he says that he found out that nearly every problem, medical-wise and that someone has wrong with them can be handled with their diet by giving them this vitamin and also changing some of the other foods they eat. And that was really interesting, you know. I don't know if someone has cancer, you give them this and it cures their cancer. I wouldn't be surprised if it did, but I'm pretty sure he's saying you take this, you won't get cancer. You know what I mean? Or you take this, you won't get diabetes. You take this, you won't get that bung knee or arthritis or something like that. Like, it's really, and he realized that the doctors, instead of providing drugs and stuff, need to be giving people good diets and that. Just really interesting. Really, really interesting. And I like the product now. I recommend buying it. Just search it on Google. It's called Beyond Tangy Tangerine. So what I was talking about. And in his studies of food and vitamins and all that sort of stuff, yeah, he discovered that doctors were telling people not to have salt and not to have bacon and just all these ridiculous things that were just false information. Oh, back to the heart tick. Yeah, so the heart tick was just really dodgy. So they'll put heart tick on, you know, things and to say, oh, it doesn't have cholesterol and that, and it just. And people go, oh, this is good. So people walk around thinking, oh, I'm buying the butter without the heart tick, and think, oh, I'm doing a good thing for my health. And the doctors who were taught this were going, oh, I'm going to do a good thing for my health. I'm going to eat the butter without the heart tick. And then they'll drop dead at age 58. And it's just because, like, the average Joe would just pick up normal butter, but I don't care about the heart tick. And they'll live to 72. So the heart tick was just dodgy, you know. And you know... people making a lot of money off the heart tick. There's a whole, I mean, you could probably do a whole lecture on the history of this Heart Foundation tick thing. But anyway, so Dr. Wallach found out how crappy the medical industry was and the advice that they'd been given out. Some of the things they were saying, like they would say, well, anyway, we sort of went over that, but yeah, so we found out that they were just giving out crappy advice. And if you look in, and so yeah, so if you look into the medical industry and that, they're not the be all and end all. Everyone thinks that these doctors are these big things. It's starting to really change these days, but like, you know, in the 2000s and the 90s and that, it was just like doctors were just the most amazing things ever, and it was just like, my son is a doctor. Oh, I'm so good. Yes, my son's a fantastic doctor. And it's just like, wow, good on you, you know, like, yeah, doctor, that's great. You know, like, for example, right, you could have someone, right, they could have some sort of problem and they could go and they could try Beyond Tangy Tangerine and it could cure them. Or they could go and do a detox program and it could cure them. And then they could walk into their doctor's surgery, right, and say, I tried this. When people come in with this problem, tell them to try this because this worked for me and it might work for them. That doctor would go, okay, thank you, mate. And then the doctor would just never tell anyone that. And someone would come in with a problem, the doctor would say, my training says that you take this drug and I'm sponsored by this drug company. See, it's written on the pen, it's on my lanyard. You're going to take this drug if you've got this problem, you know? And it's just... that's hence why people are just, on average across society, haven't been getting healthier, you know. Within the past just a few years, yes. But, yeah, just on average and that, like up until the 2000s, like, you know, computers improved heaps, cars, just all these things have improved. But the medical industry really hadn't improved that much, you know. They have, like, one great invention, like a headache pill because it works, you know, or, like, penicillin because it blah, 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 or some one vaccine that works or whatever, and then they just, like, think the medical industry is just the best thing ever. And they just ignore heaps of people who die from side effects from them and that. Like, apparently, if you look at the death rate, like, you look at, like, shark attacks or motorcycle accidents or, I think cancer or whatever, and you look at the number one thing that's causing the most death to people, like drugs or whatever, and you... like illegal drugs, you find out that apparently it's hospitals and doctors and shit. Like, they cause the most amount of death, you know? And doesn't surprise me from what I've seen in my life and that sort of stuff. It's just like, everyone's, like, they'll put up something, they'll be like, they'll put an ad on TV. This is why I think these ads are so ridiculous. Like, they'll show an ad on TV and they'll be like, speeding kills, don't speed. And it's just like, mate, why don't you tell people about the medical industry killing people? It should say medical industry kills. You know what I mean? You should say that. Because it's just like, they're the ones by statistics wise that are causing most amount of deaths. But people just think it's safe in that. You know what I mean? And why is there none of this alternative information really coming out? It just comes out a little bit on Facebook and that? Because the media's bought and paid for, the TVs are bought and paid for, you know. You're not going to really get the truth in that, you know. They're not going to run some, like, ad campaign saying medical industry kills, you know. They're just going to run some speeding one because they want to get more speeding fines from people. Anyway, that's another topic. The ridiculousness of the police. Anyway, I should probably stick to, sort of halfway through the podcast now, I should probably stick to this medical industry thing. And, my grandpa was unwell and he... was in hospital and that, and basically, I think they'd given him a lot of drugs, basically, you know, and they also prescribed to him this crappy diet, so he'd been applying them because he just does what he's told and just believes doctors and that sort of stuff. They've got a certificate on the wall, you've got to believe this person, they've got a certificate on the wall. Like, it's just so ridiculous. Like, life experience and intelligence and knowledge and what you've observed should be what we should admire, not if you've got some paperwork on the wall. You know, that's a big problem with society now. It's starting to change. People are starting to realise that university is just not what it's cracked up to be. It's just expensive, it's out of date, it's not up to modern standards and that. And anyway... So, So he was unwell and he was sort of on his deathbed and that. But he got onto his deathbed basically because the doctors were giving him all these drugs and shit. And he was, you know, getting side effects. And then he was actually having a really horrible time because he couldn't eat food and enjoy it because he was getting a bad side effect. And then he would get the flu because of the side effect from the drugs and that sort of stuff. And it just made his life horrible for a few months. And then I think he got to the stage where the doctors just stopped giving him anything or whatever. And they just they gave up. And then miraculously he just got better, you know. And then he's still, you know, not in a good frame of mind and got a long-term illness and that sort of stuff and eventually will cark it. But he could eat food and enjoy it and that sort of stuff. And he wasn't, you know, you weren't visiting him in hospital and he looked really horrible and about to die. You visit him and he kind of looked all right, you know, for a really old person, you know. But I could just see how it was just like, man, when I get old and that, there's no way I'm going to let doctors just experiment with me and just chuck me all these drugs and give me all these bad side effects and make the last month of my life this horrible pain of all these different, you know, drugs and that and side effects and just the nastiness from them. There's no way I'm going to let them do that to me. Anyway, so, yeah, that gave me a little bit of experience of how crappy these doctors are and how they just, not saying all of them are crappy, let's do some common sense here. Because I know some people try and blow things out of proportion and go, look at him, he's saying all doctors are bad. He's saying they're all, like, drug dealers, you know what I mean? They're just trying to deal drugs to their patients or whatever. I'm not saying they're all bad, you know what I mean? I'm just saying a lot of them are. And people don't talk about this, you know? People just trust them all. Anyway, the trust in them is dying on average across the world and that. And so, yeah, that gave me insight to just these doctors and how you just, in this world, you got to be smart. You got to know what's going on. Otherwise, you spend the last month of your life in horrible pain, dying from side effects from drugs that doctors have given you by stupid doctors who don't even know what's going on in the world and who are just told to give this drug to someone so they just give it to them. And they have no sense of, like, they're not very wanting to do what's right or wrong. They just do whatever makes them money and they don't really care, you know? The medical industry is really good with stuff like, you know, really physical stuff, like fixing a bung knee or replacing a plate in a head, like really mechanical, sort of like the way a mechanic would work but on your body. They're good with that. But other things, they're not that good at, and that's why this whole holistic medicine or homeopathy or whatever is starting to get really popular and people are starting to really get into it, you know. And it's really interesting, you know. It's starting to grow because people are realizing there's other treatments for these illnesses. Not just, you know, whatever drugs they're pushing in that. See, I mean, I understand that this podcast is a bit slower and I'm not talking about as many things and not charged as the other two ones because I'm probably starting to run out of things to talk about maybe. You know, and also I'm a bit probably tired from the snowboarding and that. Had to wake up earlier than usual. But yeah, I'll probably say this one is interesting, but the information from it's very important about this whole medical industry thing. Just don't, you know, take it with a grain of salt, you know. Apparently, and I think Jesus Christ said this and other high spiritual people have said, all illnesses... Gosh, you started about me talking about evil people and I've gone off to the medical industry and that. Got to try and bring back something about the evil people. But anyway, what I'm saying is that as a profession, evil people are more likely to gravitate towards medicine than they are towards carpentry. Okay? That's a fact. All right, anyway. Jesus and other high spiritual people, they have said things like, you know, all illnesses or problems with you can be cured by you within you in a spiritual sort of way. You don't need to take drugs or whatever or go see a doctor. Like I think Jesus said something like, you know, God or whatever, you know, you can heal all your problems with the power of God or something like that. Like all illnesses are spiritual in origin. So They're all coming because the person has a spiritual problem. So someone might get cancer and you go, well, it's because they ate that bad food and it caused cancer to grow in their body. But it's like deep within that person, they had some emotional issue or some problem, or they weren't strong enough spiritually, and it caused them to get cancer. You know what I mean? It's saying, this is getting out of this dimension again. This is going into spiritual dimension, some other dimension. Like, this is where it's just so out there. It's hard to talk about these sort of things. But, yeah, so he's saying that it's all spiritual. And that, from what I've observed, that seems to be the case, because I've done lots of spiritual stuff. I've done a fair bit of Scientology and that, and things to improve me. And I've also improved my diet as well and that sort of stuff. And I have noticed that the stronger you are spiritually, the less likely you are to get sick. Like, for example, Jesus Christ could just heal himself. That's how brilliant he was. You know what I mean? That's what's going on. People can turn light bulbs on with their mind. If you're very powerful spiritually, you start growing cancer. You can just boom and just get rid of that cancer pretty easily, can't you? You know? So it's just like, maybe the origin of the cancer isn't spiritual, you know, but a powerful spiritual person can just heal themselves like that. You know? Like the way Jesus could just touch someone and they could see or something like that, you know? Because there's a lot more going on, you know? The way on The Green Mile, the movie, where the big black guy made the rat come back alive again for like another 100 years. Apparently, this is really out there stuff, but I've heard that Jesus survived the crucifixion. That's, again, a sign that have strong spiritual people can survive those sort of things. And then people helped rush him to India or something like that, and he just cured himself of all his illness, his nearly dying experience on the cross and everything. Cured himself of that, because he's just so powerful spiritually, isn't he? He can just do so much amazing stuff, you know? And this is just like, he lived till like well over the age of 100, you know what I mean? Back in those times, you know, after going through that crucifixion and that. And so it's just like the same as that big black guy on Green Mile making the rat come alive, and then the rat lives for like another 90 years or something, which is crazy for a rat to live that long, you know? Because it's just like there's more going on in this world, you know? It's really interesting, you know? So what were we talking about? So we're saying Dr. Wallach reckons that you eat all this good food and that cures all your problems, which is seems totally natural, and I agree with that. And then Jesus saying that if you're strong spiritually, you can cure all your problems and that. But also, there's another thing about that Jesus thing, is I believe if you're strong spiritually, you're not going to get sick in the first place. Those things just aren't going to happen to you, you know. I believe if you're really strong spiritually, if you go snowboarding down the mountain, you're not going to crash. You know what I mean? You can just do amazing things. Like, you can just walk on water, you know. And that's what we should all aim for, becoming really strong spiritually. And how do you do that? Knowledge. You know, you keep on educating, you keep on improving your mind and all that sort of stuff. And you find out secret information and that on, well, it's been kept secret, but it shouldn't be secret, it should be open to everyone. But information on how you do things, like how the hell did Jesus actually heal people by touching them, you know? You might go, oh, Jesus was just some fictional story. He didn't really heal people by touching them. I bet you can find people here on Earth right now that can heal people by touching them, you know? I bet you they're out there. There's some, you know, it's really interesting. So I got into the medical industry from talking about evil people, right? So saying the problems in the world are caused by evil people. So what the evil people do is they just are evil little bastards, and they've gotten into the medical industry, they've gotten into the law profession, things like carpentry and that they haven't gotten into, you know? It's really interesting. There's certain things that they haven't gotten into, but there's certain things they have, you know, where they're evil people are like 3% of the population, but amongst doctors, they'll make up like 30% of doctors. You know what I mean? Like a higher percentage, because they all gravitate towards certain jobs, you know. And I'll tell you why they don't go towards carpentry and that sort of stuff, because it doesn't have that noble, like, I'm better than you and intelligent vibe about it. Like, as little kids, they grow up and they'll look around, see jobs that can be chosen, and they see, oh, okay, so the guy's building, and they see some judge and a lawyer going, and looking really intelligent, using big fancy words, and they go, oh, I want to be that, because they're just obsessed with being the best, you know, and being, appearing really intelligent. And when you spend a bit of time with some of these people, right, it's really interesting what they'll do. They legitimately will, and I heard one of them say once that they picked up on at a young age that smart people use big words, and as a habit they just started using big words, fancy words, as a little kid, and then as an adult they'd roll off fancy words and I'd be like, why are you saying this word? Where did you learn this word? Because I'm interested, like, what? Why the hell would you use such a fancy word like obdurate? I think it means stubborn. It's just like, why would you use obdurate? You know what I mean? But they at a young age, right, they learn, they just pick up on things because, you know, and they go, oh, this smart person uses big words. So they go, oh, I've got to use big words to be smart. They even do stuff like, they would even go as far as, oh, I know some smart people wearing glasses, so I'm going to start wearing glasses, or I want to wear glasses and that look smart. It's utterly ridiculous, like, what the stuff they'll do to make themselves look smart. I remember reading, like, an essay, like, in high school by one of these sort of people, and they'll be writing the essay, right, and to appear smart, they'll intentionally pull out, like, a thesaurus, and they'll put in, like, a big fancy word into it, and they don't even really know what that word means, and it's not really necessary, it doesn't even really fit, but they'll just be like, you know, oh, this will get me an A, this makes me look smart and stuff. And it's understandable. Let's say some kid wants to cheat the system and get A's, okay? That's understandable if you want to get A's. But they do this in everyday life, you know what I mean? They do this, it's just a habit. For all day and every day, they just love using big fancy words and looking smart and wearing glasses and shit. Anyway, it's really interesting, the characteristics that these sort of people have. I can roll them off mass. Like, there's a whole checklist of the certain characteristics that they have. Of how to spot them. That's very interesting. It's something you really need to know. It's, if you know how to spot them, then, you know, you go to them as a doctor and you know that their advice isn't going to be that good to help you in that. You know, you go to them as a, even if they are a carpenter, which isn't often, but they could be, you know, I don't want this guy to build me something because he's not going to do any good and try and rip me off. Like, you know how to pick them and you can really help yourself by knowing this information. Speaking of Jesus earlier or whatever, he would definitely know how to spot a lot of the evil people in that. Like, he could pick up on, he's very spiritual, he could pick up on the vibe they were putting out, because people put out vibes and that. And he could just see their behaviour and just be like, oh, look at this priest or whatever. This priest just is acting like they're all good in that. They don't even really, like, care about God. They're not helping the people who go to that church get in contact with God or whatever. And, like, he could just see things and just spot things, and then he would criticise the priest and that. That's why he was a very controversial person when he was around. He ended up getting crucified because he was just so out there and different and had such new information. And the people who were in power, the Romans or whatever, who were in charge, and the priests who were at the top were just, like, worried that, you know, they would lose their power. So, like, let's kill this Jesus guy. He's bad, you know, and they'll come up with some scandal to try and kill him, and then everyone's like, yeah, let's kill him, the average person, because the average person doesn't really know anything and just believe whatever they hear, and they'll go, yeah, let's kill Jesus or whatever, and then they end up killing him, you know. So it's really interesting in that. And you'd notice anyone who's a real freedom fighter and is coming up against the system and saying, hey, you know, this crock of shit about bacon, you know, this is wrong, or hey, you know, do you ever think about blah 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 blah, and starts trying to educate the average person, then they'll start to get attacked by these evil people and that. Like, they'll say, run some smear campaign in the newspaper saying this person's a rat bag and embezzling funds when it's just not true or whatever. And they literally would just do, like, they'll pay someone to do it and that, and they're just very powerful. And that's why, you know, some of these evil people are really high up. They could just make a phone call and be like, oh, don't worry, next week there's going to be a story saying that Charlie Sheen's a drug addict or something like that, because he comes out of the closet on 9/11, you know, and starts to say to people, hey, you should start questioning. This is when he was the number one TV star. He had the number one show in that. It was like, it was peak, it was 2006, and he's just such a great guy, such a freedom fighter looking for truth in that. And he comes out and says, hey, people should check out this information. What we're getting told about 9/11 isn't quite right. There's something going on, you know. People need to question it, that. And so then after that, like, he just, like, you know, was just totally been attacked and made out to be a drug addict, and false information spread about him on the internet, and he hasn't been offered as many TV deals and all this sort of stuff. And you can actually watch the, and then you can see a few years after that, I think, because it came out in 2006 or whatever, and then it takes a bit of time, you know, to bring down someone's reputation. Because if he comes out and people respect him and think he's good, people go, oh, maybe he's onto something. But if they think he's just some crazy nut job, good actor, he's just talented acting, but he's a crazy nut job alcoholic drug addict, then they just, the average person just goes, oh, well, I don't believe him on anything he talks about in 9/11. He's not someone to go off. You know what I mean? It's called attacking someone's character, and it's a really clever way to bring someone down, you know. It's like, instead of someone who's good, right, and the evil people don't like because he's putting out information or whatever, they can try and assassinate the person to get rid of him and say that the person's good, or they can say, well, let's just make this person into absolute pile of shit so no one listens to him, and that. And they've done that to lots of people, and they've done it very successfully. And, you know, only, you know, the average Joe just ends up ignoring that good person because they think the person's a nut job. Anyway, one of the techniques that they'll do, by the way, to do that would be, for example, with Charlie Sheen, they'll make a Facebook account. Let's say, for example, and I pretty much saw this. They'll make a Facebook account for Charlie Sheen, right? And, I mean, he's already got a Facebook account, but they'll make another one that's called Charlie Sheen, or just like Charlie Sheen. And people who would search and come across the internet would be like, oh, there's Charlie Sheen's Facebook account. And they'll put bad pictures of him, they'll put crazy words on it, quotes, and they'll read from it and they'll go, whoa, this Charlie Sheen's a crazy guy. And then someone Google search Charlie Sheen, because they're like, oh, he's wanting us to look into 9/11. Oh, okay, so Google, they Google search Charlie Sheen, and up comes this crazy Facebook of Charlie Sheen. They click on it and they go, oh, this guy's just a crazy drug addict. Look how crazy his Facebook page is. And it's not actually his real Facebook page. It's a fake one that's been made up. Amazing, huh? It's so intelligent. When you really look at it, like, they're evil bastards, and what they're doing is totally wrong, but they're good at it. They're damn good at it, and they're smart. They think outside the box. They're clever and creative to think of these ways to attack people and bring them down, you know? But it's not that hard, though. I reckon if anyone had someone who was exposing them and they really sat down, they had millions of dollars to lose and really thought about it and had people to hire that could work for them, they could sit down and think, how can we bring this person down? And they'll come to a conclusion, you know, like this. It's not that smart. You know, it seems kind of smart, but anyone puts their mind to something can come up with some way to bring someone down. Anyway, so they brought down Charlie Sheen and they tried to attack his character and that. And so he came out in 2006, and then it takes a bit of time, and then he went a bit crazy with drugs and all that stuff in about 2009 or something like that, or 2010, and he left the show or whatever, and then on TV show him with, like, he's like, I'm a rock star or whatever. And so what happened is it takes a bit of time for him to go a bit crazy and get really upset and do something dramatic because, you know, it's 2006, and then 2007 he starts getting attacked. He's not going to suddenly go crazy, you know. So he's going to get some attacks in 2007, and you get rejected for a movie show, and then have some of the problem and that, and they could be planting some... They could have some dude, you know what I mean? They could pay some drug addict to just hang around him and just pretend to be his friend and offer him drugs, you know, and encourage him to take drugs or whatever. Like the extent that they could go to try and... You know, they got heaps of money. You know, a lot of them are super rich and powerful at the top and that sort of stuff. They work really hard to get there and they really want to be there, you know. Anyway, so they can do these sort of things. So you know, he runs into problems in 2007. Then 2008, suddenly they try and set up some things so his wife breaks up with him or whatever, and then they make some problems with him for the... it sounds like crazy conspiracy theories, but seriously, these things, when you look into them, it's just like they so seem like they're happening. Like, all the evidence seems to indicate this is what's going on, you know. But if you just live in your little house in the street and you just go to work and you just watch what's on the mainstream news and you read a little fiction book or whatever, you think, no, this guy, what Andy Norch is talking about right now is just completely crazy. This guy's a nut job and just lies. It's just crazy conspiracy theories. And it's just like, you know, only when you really travel the world and meet people and see things and really look at information do you start going, oh, no, things don't quite match up. There's something more going on. Anyway, so with Charlie Sheen, it's like, you know, they start attacking him in 2007, then 2008, and these things build up, you know what I mean? So he cracked in, like, 2010 and went crazy in 2010 or whatever. because it takes a bit of time, you know, because you try things and then you get hit back, and then you try again and you hit back, and then there's some point where all these problems compound and you go, that's it, screw it, and you call the executive some nasty word and everything, you get fired from 2.5 men, and then you start going on a little drug binge because you're just like sick of whatever's going on, you just need a break from things, and you're sick of all the weight that's on you and stuff. And so it's not like, you know, they start attacking him at the start of 2007, and then 6 months later he cracks. You know, it's a long-term thing, you know. It takes a while, you know. It takes a while for the fake Facebook page that they make. It takes a while for that to become popular so that people see it. See, because you can make a Facebook page, you can have two people see it, two people like it or whatever, and no one sees it. But it takes time, it takes months and months of promoting the page or doing all the crap that you have to do before the page has thousands of clicks. Then people see it and then they go, oh, this actually is this page. You know, because if you saw Charlie Sheen, Facebook page, 3 friends, you'd go, this probably isn't Charlie Sheen, is it? But you see Charlie Sheen, Facebook page, 1 million friends, you go, oh, this is Charlie Sheen. And don't people who are moronic, don't go, oh, can you believe Andy Nolte is saying 1 million friends? You can't have 1 million friends on Facebook. I'm using this as an example, okay? I'm not actually saying this is the case. You know what I mean? I know you can't have 1 million friends on Facebook. These are just examples, you know? Gosh, because some people can really get thrown off by that. They go, what? This guy's crazy. Listen to him. He thinks that you can get 1 million friends on Facebook. I know you can't get 1 million friends on Facebook. I'm just using this as an example, okay? Let's talk about Twitter then. You know what I mean? Because you can't get 1 million followers on Facebook, on Twitter. You know, I just use the word Facebook. I'm just using examples here. It doesn't matter specifically how correct they are. You know, they just give you a general idea, you know. The people who would try and attack me or whatever, you know, do that same thing. They'll take a little snippet out of context and they'll go, look how dumb Andy Nolte is. He thinks that you can get 1 million friends on Facebook. This is the type of techniques that they use to attack people, you know what I mean? And they'll go on the news and they'll go, well, you can't believe anything he says. I mean, listen to him. He's talking about Charlie Sheen's Facebook page and you see you can have 1 million friends on Facebook. You can't get 1 million friends on Facebook. It's just like, dude, I knew that. It was just a silly example. And it's just like, it wasn't even like a factually correct example, but it's just giving you an idea of how these things work, you know? Anyway, see what they do? They do shit like that. They'll pick out little nitpicky things, like, oh, you do example on that. Anyway, so Charlie Sheen cracked in, like, 2010, which makes sense in that. And then people think he's a bit of a nut job, and they don't trust what he says about 9/11 anymore because they go, oh, look, this guy's crazy and that. And they also probably make up what he did as well. Like, they'll be like, oh, he smashed his wife with a baseball bat in the head when, like, the truth was that, like, he could have, like, been really angry and picked up a baseball bat and been like, I'll hit you, you stupid bitch, and, like, never hit her with it but just said it. You know what I mean? And they can just blow things out of proportion and that. The media has a lot of power. They can really rip people down and that. Anyway, there's that saying that any publicity is good publicity, but it's only sometimes true. You can't say that sometimes it's not good publicity, you know? Sometimes it's good to have publicity and people do this on purpose. This just gets into another thing. It's how interesting the media is and that sort of stuff. It's just such a powerful thing. So they could have some reality TV show and they go to one of the stars and they go, we want you to get into a little scandal with marijuana and get in trouble with the police and that, and it'll be on the papers. Star of Dancing in the Stars caught smoking marijuana, this little controversial thing, and you go, well, isn't that attacking the show Dancing with the Stars and its guests? And it's just like, nah, it's free promotion for the show. You know what I mean? Any publicity is good publicity. It's a good thing, you know? So in that example, it's a good thing. But in the Charlie Sheen example, it kind of brings him down, you know? So sometimes it's a good thing, sometimes it's not. Sadly, not every time, you know, but there are some things in that where they're in the media and that they will literally do that, like come up with it. They'll be like, we want you to get caught with marijuana to cause this, you know what I mean? And it's just like, hey, I'm in the media industry as well. I understand how you'd want to do that, you know, because any publicity is good publicity, you know, and it does. Sorry, not all the time, but in that situation, you know. So that's really interesting. I could see myself one day in the future intentionally trying to do something to cause controversy, to get in trouble in order just to promote something. You know what I mean? But here's where the difference between I am between these evil people. I will never do anything that's actually evil. I would just do something that would be like that silly Dancing in the Stars example, where it doesn't really ever harm anyone, you know what I mean? It just gets your thing in the newspaper, and it causes a little bit of controversy and actually promotes your show a little bit. But I'd never, you know, destroy someone or do anything that's actually evil, you know what I mean? I'm just not that sort of person. But these evil people couldn't care less. They thoroughly enjoy ripping into people. They're basically bullies. That is literally what the evil people are. It's like I should have said that at the start of the show. They're just professional bullies. They're professional, adult, smart bullies, you know? And they're really good bullies because they don't just do it in a physical way. They do it in like a reputation way, you know? So they they could have been some of these people who are really high up in that. Because there are some people who are evil who are just losers in that. I mean, you don't really hear much about them, you know? But they're... Some of them get really high up in that because they're just so evil. They really want to bring people down, so they just work every way possible to bring people down so they become an executive of a massive company and that. There's nothing wrong with capital. There's nothing wrong with a big company. There's nothing wrong with being rich and being at the top of that company. Like Richard Branson, he seems like a pretty cool guy. And Donald Trump, he seems pretty cool. But there are some people who use it in a bad way, like basically evil Mr. Burns and that sort of stuff. Mr. Burns is basically a bully. Anyway. So these people, they might be at... Oh, already in an hour. Okay, just was starting to get good. Anyway, so I'll start wrapping up. But these Mr. Burns, for example, he will in primary school, I'm sure he would have, when he was amongst other little kids, he would have done some little evil things, you know, these little things that bring people down and that. And he might have actually, because usually a lot of these people are like wimpy and quite nerdy and stuff and then get picked on that. So he might have been picked on by a fellow bully that isn't as talented and more of a tough physical brute bully. And he might have been like, oh, I hate that guy, I'm going to bring him down anyway. So he grows up in that and he gets really good marks and he goes through the whole system and he rises to works extremely hard and he becomes executive of this business. And then he starts doing evil stuff at the top. He basically becomes a bully. You know, you just don't see him punch someone and take their lunch money. He becomes a professional bully, you know? And he goes and they do evil stuff and they become a politician. They say this is happening when it's not really happening and they're just trying to get everyone onto a con job and that. Hillary Clinton is one of them, it seems like. Well, it sounds wild, but it seems like some of the stuff she's done is pretty sociopathic and evil and that sort of stuff. Sociopathic means evil. And so... Yeah, they're literally, as evil people, literally bullies. And so what they've done is they have hijacked some of them, and it goes back to, I think, to Rockefeller. They've hijacked the medical industry, right? So, like, they've gotten the medical industry hooked on drugs as being the cure to everything. Instead of looking to other things, it's just like, no, drugs. You know, we make drugs. We own the patent for the drugs. We make money off the drugs. If someone's got a problem, you give them drugs. You know what I mean? And that's what they've done. Also, they've managed to, as well, filter bad information out there through their media outlets to put down any legitimate ways of actually curing problems. So if someone's recommending someone to eat good bacon and that sort of stuff and take good Beyond Tangy Tangerine, they put out a bit of information that says, vitamins isn't that good, or eating bacon isn't that good because they don't want people getting these cured from these things. So the... But so then you end up years later, it takes a lot of time, you end up having a medical industry that's just obsessed with drugs, that dishes out bad information, that dishes out bad drugs and never really cures anyone, and you've got this whole crappy medical industry, and then you get us, the average person who doesn't know anything about it, trying the medical industry and getting harmed by it and that. And it all leads back, and someone gets cancer at age 55 because of some information that heard, or age 45 because of all this false information about eating bad diets and taking bad drugs to get side effects and that. They get cancer or whatever, and then they, you know, they turn to the medical industry to get help and their cancer gets even worse and they end up passing away, you know, and they get these expensive, extremely expensive cancer treatments and that. But what I'm saying is if they wanted a cure to cancer, I guarantee they could get it. Send a man to a moon, you know what I mean? They could get a cure for cancer, you know. Technically, it sort of is with this whole Beyond Tangy Tangerine thing, you know. It's not like I'm trying to promote it. I don't make any money for it. I don't care. I'm just saying it seems like this could be the cure for cancer, you know. I heard that if you eat lots of vegetables and that, because you've got good stuff in them, you never get cancer, you know. And I heard of someone who had cancer, history of cancer in their family, and this one dude who worked at a vegetable shop ate a lot of vegetables, he didn't get cancer, but the other people in the family got cancer. Isn't that interesting? You know? And it's just beyond tangy tangerine and stuff, has heaps of vitamins and all this sort of stuff that vegetables have in that. And Dr. Wallach's saying it doesn't... I think he might say you probably won't get cancer, and then it's just like... And he hasn't got cancer, and it seems like maybe that stops you from getting cancer, you know? Anyway, I've got to wrap it up because it's over an hour now. But, so you get this crappy medical industry in that. It's, can do some all right things in that, and it's just... I think it's only worthwhile 25% of the time, it seems like, from what I've looked at. 25% of the surgeries, 25% of the drugs they offer, 25% of the advice they offer is actually good, and the rest of it's just kind of like, just don't take it. It's just crappy advice, you know. And that's why doctors, on average, died at the age of 58, and the average Joe died at 72, because the doctors did the advice that they were taught and took the drugs and that sort of stuff and didn't help them, you know. Anyway, it's very interesting. And so all these problems in this whole thing that we're talking about and what I talked about in some of the other podcasts and that all relate to evil people, because the evil people at the top trying to make money off selling people drugs, you know, in the medical industry and that. And so it just all relates back to evil people. And it's just like they're just a problem with everything, you know. From what I've seen, from what I've, you know, studied and heard and lots of stuff, it's just like, if it weren't for these evil people, you know, we'd all be living in mansions and we'd all have great healthcare and we wouldn't have family disputes and we wouldn't have people in the same asylums and we wouldn't have jails, and it's just like things would just be awesome, you know. It would literally be in a living heaven if it wasn't for them, you know. Anyway, until you really look at all the information that and you really see how people have been harmed by all the stuff that they're doing, you realise how tough we all are in that, and which is great, but you can see how we've all been battened and weakened down and stuff. And you see some person who's suffering from some long-term side effect from vaccines and that, and they have no idea it was caused by vaccines, and you can't really prove it, and it's kind of hard, and then they can't eat pizza bread, and they just suffer for the rest of their life not being able to eat pizza bread because it's like something they're allergic to because of the freaking vaccines. They don't even know it, you know, they just think they're born that way, they just think they're just born unhealthy, you know. At the end of the day, you look at it and you go, wow, the Amish were actually kind of right in what they were doing, you know? Like, really, you look at it and you go, the Amish just, like, just kept it and avoided all this modern stuff, and they're healthier and they're happier on average and that, and they, gosh, they did good. I mean, you should see them build a barn. In, like, 10 hours, they all get together in a group and they smash out a whole barn. A huge barn. It's just like, I've never seen buildings so amazing. Like, it's amazing. A builder would just be like, this is fantastic, come work for me, you know, this is awesome, you guys. And it's just because they're not weighed down by all these things. Apparently they don't even get autism, you know, like you get like no Amish kids having autism because they're religious beliefs, they didn't try any modern stuff, and they just stuck, you know, to the basic life. Apparently autism's caused by vaccines. You know, and not just that, I reckon it's a combination of all these other bad things that are in our societies and that, but these Amish just eat their good food on their farms, and they don't take any vaccines and that, they don't get these harmful side effects and that, and they don't have any kids with autism, you know? And it's just like, in the end, us average Joes who aren't Amish, we will, with all this greater information and stuff, we will end up surpassing them with the future of modern technology and how good we're going at the moment, and we're fighting back against these evil people. It looks like we're in a bit of a trend of beating them. They always have a chance of one day coming back and getting us, but if we keep on improving things, then we'll be able to completely take them out. And so, you know, we'll have some sort of system that just locks them up straight away so they don't manage to grow up and become heads of drug companies and that, or other things, and don't cause us any harm. But in the short term, absolutely, if you're a little kid, you want to be born into an Amish family, you're a lot less likely to get all these problems and that. But in the short term it's good, but in the long term, us people who aren't Amish get to have all these great technologies and all the advancement of it, and we get to defeat these evil people and have the benefits of that. And one day the Amish, I think, will no longer be Amish and start trying modern things. But I can't understand where they're coming from at the moment. We're just like, we're not going to go near there. That's just risky behaviour, all these things and that. And all this whole modern society and stuff. We used to see the 1800s and that, and it's worked out pretty good for them, and good on them and that. And they've given us at least a group to research and look at in a group that hasn't tried the stuff that we had tried. You know, they give us a test sample so you can go, well, maybe vaccines are bad because look at these kids, they don't have any autism. You know, I mean, great, you know. And these evil people will just lie to you about things. I spoke to one of them on the internet, and one of them on the internet goes, no vaccine. They go, no Amish kids get autism. And they just blatantly lie. They go, they don't know. You know, they just lie. You know, they don't care about the truth. That's what I'm saying to the evil people, and that they just have a certain thing that they want to push, like whether it is global warming or they want people to have vaccines and that to harm them because they enjoy it and they make money off it. And so they're just going to say to you, they're just going to tell you direct lies. They just lie directly to your face. That's one big thing about them. So I've covered in this podcast a bit about evil people and a bit about their traits. You could write a perfect book that has all the traits about them and stuff, and you could be able to spot them like there's no tomorrow. Maybe I'll do that one day. Maybe I'll do that in one podcast and cover it in 1 hour. But I feel like I'd have to prepare that. This podcast isn't preparing. Like, I'd have to remember all the traits. I don't know if I could roll them off. Maybe next podcast, and then I'll go over all the traits to help you spot them, because I think it's a super important thing to be able to spot. Best thing that's ever happened to me to be able to spot an evil person. It's so helpful. You don't hire them, you don't work with them, and you don't have, you know, they're not your friend, you don't have them around, you don't listen to things they say and their advice and that sort of stuff, because they just, one of them I remember came up to me in that, because I was doing a bit of comedy, and just told me to do something. He was basically pissed off that I did better than him. And he just basically came up and told me and gave me a bit of constructive criticism, you know, and told me to do something that would just totally screw up my act and just not work. And was the reason why my act was going good because I was doing this. And he came up to me and said, don't do this. That's not good. And that was the exact thing that was making my act good and making people laugh, you know? And so if I was a dumbass and I didn't know how to spot... Sorry, I'm not saying the average person's a dumbass, okay? We're all smart. We're all smart. I mean, these evil people tell you you're not smart or whatever. We're all smart. People have different levels of information. I have more information than you, more knowledge than the average person, okay? So I'm able to spot if these people are evil or not. So sorry for calling you guys a dumbass, but you're not dumbasses, but you just, you know, you don't know enough. I used to be a dumbass. We all need to know more. We just need to know so much. You need to be a jam full of information and just know a lot. There's no such thing as someone being smarter than someone else, like more able to process things or whatever. It's just like, some people have more information than someone else, you know, and that's what's gold information, and just keep on keeping your eyes open and learning. Just learning and asking questions, never stop. Anyway, so if I was like the average person, just didn't know much, I would have thought, oh, maybe I'll try your advice and stop doing that. And then it just would have stuffed up my act and stopped me from getting laughs and stuff, you know, and it just totally wouldn't have helped me. But... And I would have, and I would have said, oh, that guy's more experienced and done it for more years than me, so he must be right. But what I do is I look at it and I go, oh, he had these certain traits. His advice is probably not going to be good. And so I thought about his advice and I looked into it and I was like, oh, no, but that's what made my act good, doing what I did. So I didn't take his advice. I just continued doing what I was doing, you know. And so... These evil people and that, they'd be out there. So I spoke about the evil people and their sort of traits and that sort of stuff. Spoke about how they affected the medical industry and basically made the mainstream medical industry crap. On average, you know, not all the time and that. And so you have to water everything down. Not on average, not all the time and that. I mean, it's the truth, but it's just like, you can't just say the medical industry is crap. You know what I mean? If you just say it bluntly like that, people just get so offended and... these evil people take it out of context and that sort of stuff. So I have to add a few little things onto it. It's not all the time. Like, it's not like I would say never go to the doctor and that. But they would say, if they were trying to attack me, they'll go, he says never go to the doctor. He says they're all crap. And it's just like, when I said they're all crap, I didn't mean that literally every single one of them are crap. I'm just saying freaking a lot of them are crap, you know? People take things out of context, you know? I know my words actually say they are all crap. You know what I mean? But like, you can get what I'm saying in this conversation. You can get what I'm sort of implying, you know. So I mean, the evidence seems to suggest that a lot of them are crap, you know. It's not, but if you're just casually and you're excited, you go, they're all crap and blah, blah, blah. Some people are just so dumb, they can't pick up with the rest of the podcast and the rest of the conversation I've been saying. They actually think that I'm saying that they're all crap, but I'm not saying they're all crap, you know. But anyway, sorry, maybe some people who aren't listening, but some people who are evil will just take what I'm saying out of context and trying to attack me on it. Anyway, so, yeah, so it said how a lot of the medical industry's advice is crappy and that sort of stuff, and that a bit of information about the food and stuff and what's good and minerals and vitamins, how it's good and how Beyond Tangy is good, and to check it out. And I'm not, promoting or anything. I'm just, you know, like, I'm not making money off it or anything. I'm just legitimately reckon you should check it out. Like, it seems like it, you know, might be a real good thing. And, you know, it's hard because you take it and that, and it's just like, you take it and, you know, you feel a bit better in that, and you see that you're all right and stuff. And so how do you know that didn't stop you from getting cancer? Like, maybe you would have gotten cancer. Maybe you would have been really horrible. So it's really hard to tell 100% if Beyond Tangy Tangerine is the most fantastic thing ever, because it could have been. It could have saved my life, but I don't know. You know, I've been taking it regularly for ages now, you know. All I know is it definitely didn't harm me. When I'd taken it, I reckon I did get a bit better and stuff. But it could have full-on cured all these diseases in me that I would have gotten after all these years and that, but, you know, I don't know. Anyway, it's worth a try. And then I also touched on, the cause of all problems in the world being evil people and that, and, some of their traits. I went into a little bit in vaccines again. It's a bit of a hot topic, that one. It's just crazy that how many they're pushing on little kids and that. Look into it. It's a very interesting topic and that, and I'm personally quite passionate about the vaccine topic, because governments are trying to push, evil people are getting into government or pushing the government to force us to take them, and I don't like the government forcing anything, like, just full stop, whether it's good or bad. They should have just nothing to do with it. You shouldn't be forced to do things, you know. It's ridiculous how many rules there are in the law book, you know. Like, my brother the other day got pulled over by cops or whatever because, like, his car was too high off the ground. And it's just like, come on, that's so ridiculous. Like, how can you take your job seriously as a copper going over to someone that you got a car that's too high off the ground, you know? And it's not like he was driving a monster truck, you know what I mean? It's not like it's just like, whoa, you can't drive that car on the road, that's seriously dangerous. It's just a car that's just lifted high off the ground. It's good. It's good for four-wheel driving and all that sort of stuff. And it's just like, as a law officer, I wouldn't pull someone over for that. Let's just say that. You know what I mean? I just would just be like, I'm going to go out and actually catch baddies and not just waste my time pulling over people for having their car too high off the ground. It's utterly ridiculous. These rules, like, who says what sort of car you can drive? Who are passing these rules? It's just ridiculous. All these rules, you have to take vaccines, you know, you have to have a car this high off the ground. It's just like, there's just way too many rules in society. It's just like, who cares? Give people some freedom, you know. Next minute they're going to start saying, your podcasts are going too long. Podcast rules say you have to have a podcast an hour and 10 minutes. It's just ridiculous. The government's telling people how long their podcasts are. Anyway, so that's it for me. Andy Nolch, the Space Cowboy, signing out. Protecting freedom for you and me. Yeah.